Our reading is taken from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 19, reading from the New International Version. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a litre of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done in him or to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Amen.
I want to start my sermon today with a song, spoken. Though some of you, trust me, are going to be humming it in your heads and maybe aloud. So here it is. "Where are those happy days? They seem so hard to find. I try to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love, I wish I understood. It used to be so nice, it used to be so good. So, when you're near me, darling, can't you hear me? SOS. The love you gave me, nothing else can save me. SOS. Anyone humming? Yeah, see, I told you. Now, remarkably, the use of SOS as a distress single only came into being in 1906. What does it stand for? Well, nothing, originally. Doesn't stand for anything. It was agreed as a distress signal by the International Radio Telegraphic Convention in that year because it was an easy signal to broadcast in the alphabet of International Morse code. Dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. And so it would go on. And after the SOS signal, the rest of the message would be broadcast again in Morse code. Maybe ship going down, send help quickly. And not surprisingly, those letters soon were made into an acronym, S-O-S. Save our souls. That's right. And today, of course, SOS is in common usage in many languages, not just for sinking ships at sea, but for all kinds of help we send out, an SOS. Now, the Bible has a word that's equivalent to our modern SOS, and it is the word Hosanna. Yes, it was used as a word of praise as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, and we'll come back to that. Originally, though, it was not a song from Abba, but a prayer to Abba, Father, Lord, save us. Lord, save our souls, we might say. Listen to these words from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. Lord, save us. And that phrase is in the Hebrew, there is the word that gives us our word, Hosanna. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Just what the crowd here in John's Gospel, in chapter 12, is shouting out. And as Jesus leaves the home of Martha, Lazarus, and Mary, where he was staying the night before, a crowd has already been gathering, wanting to see Jesus and to see Lazarus, the man who Jesus raised from the dead. And as he walks up the hill from Bethany to the top of the Mount of Olives, it seems that they go with him, many of these people who have gathered. As he descends the mount on foot, winding his way through the olive groves, crossing the bottom of the Kidron Valley, the numbers will have grown because a crowd attracts a crowd, doesn't it? And as they all walk up the hill towards the city walls, they encounter a much bigger multitude who are gathering for the Passover festival in a few days' time. According to the estimate of Josephus, 30 years later, there may have been as many as 2.5 million people congregating upon the city of Jerusalem for the Passover. 2.5 million pilgrims. And as they see Jesus approaching, some of them strip branches from palm trees and they go out to meet him, waving them and shouting out, beginning to shout out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus will be well aware of these words. They're words he's familiar with. They've been a part of his life from his earliest days. And he will have known the words that follow in Psalm 118. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God and he's made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession. Jesus knows the significance of their shouts. He knows who he is. He knows that he comes as Father God's fulfillment of those words and of their hopes, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. And he also knows the messianic prophecy of the prophet Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And deliberately, it seems, Jesus finds a young donkey. In other Gospels, it talks of his preparations for that donkey to be available, sending out disciples to make sure it is. But here in John's Gospel, he just finds a young donkey and he gets on it and he rides it into the city. As the crowd continue to sing their hosannas in praise, barely remembering as they do so, that Hosanna began as a prayer of SOS to God. How much the people of Israel have needed to send their SOSs to the Lord. As individuals and as a nation, they have kept having to cry out to God throughout their history. Jacob said, "Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau." And that night wrestled literally with God in prayer back in Genesis 32. And God heard. Israel cried out again for their SOS, with their SOS to God, for freedom from slavery. Exodus 2. And God heard, and eventually God saves them through the leadership of Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. And they cried out again at the incursions of the Midianites. And God heard and gave victory to them through Gideon, the judge. They cried out again at the enforced exile in Babylon hundreds of years later. And God heard and spoke words that they needed to hear, saying, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And in our own church verse for this year, coming immediately after that, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your hearts." And time and again, the writers of the Psalms send up their SOSs to God. I kind of looked up, I did a search of the number of times the word save came up, and I had to give up just after a couple. So here are a couple for you, but have a look at that maybe when you get home. See how many times the Psalms are crying out for help. Here's Psalm 6 verse 4. "Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love." And then the very next Psalm, Psalm 7 verse 1. "Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me." And as I said, there are many more SOSs going up to God through the Psalms. What are your SOS prayers at this time? Maybe it's, "Lord, save me in my fears and anxiety, for I feel I'm going under at the moment." Maybe it's, "Lord, comfort me in my grief, because the pain is more than I can bear alone." Maybe it's, "Lord, save my marriage, because we're struggling to love one another." Maybe it's, "Lord, restore to me the faith I once had, because I miss you." If you are praying those or any other SOSs to God right now, I pray for you that the Lord will turn and deliver you and save you because of his unfailing love. May he turn your Hosanna prayer into Hosanna praise. And I wonder, what are your SOS prayers for the world? Because we have personal concerns for ourselves, don't we? But we have global concerns for our world. I think, thank you, Margaret, for your prayers. We heard some of those there. In what you prayed, but it may be, "Lord, save our nation from a callous disregard for those who come from beyond our borders." Or, "Lord, bring peace between nations and love for all the people that you have made." Maybe, "Lord, bring healing to this earth, and may it be a place that is good and safe for my children and for their children." Both global and personal prayers like that, aren't they? If you're praying prayers like those, know that the Spirit prays them with you, and that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time, as Paul reminds us in Romans 8:22. Perhaps as we pray these Hosanna prayers, our prayers can help to birth something new. May the Lord turn our Hosanna prayers into action, and our action into Hosanna praise. Well, praise is what the people in the crowd are giving to Jesus. "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they cry. And by this stage of history, the time of Jesus, Hosanna has become a shout of praise, as if to say, the Lord has saved. The Lord has done it. Or if he hasn't done it, he's going to do it. I said that Jesus knows these words well. The words actually come from that Psalm 118, which is actually the last of six so-called Hallel Psalms, beginning at Psalm 113 and continuing to this one, 118. And these psalms, by the time of Jesus, have been sung for centuries by pilgrims going up to Jerusalem for the major festivals. Most in the crowd will already have sung out these words on their way to Jerusalem, and now as Jesus rides on this donkey, it seems only natural, only fitting to sing them out to the one who rides towards them on this donkey as a clear sign to be a coming king, and yet not a king bringing war, but a king of peace. How does Jesus hear their cries of Hosanna? Does he receive them, I wonder, as shouts of praise? Or does he turn them back into Hosanna prayers? Is he, inside his mind, thinking, Lord, save me? But he knows that for them to be saved, for this crowd to be really saved, eternally saved, he will not be able to save himself from death. As he later will pray, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. For Jesus and for us, the cross is the way of reconciling us to God and reconciling creation to the Creator. Hopefully, as you came in, you will have been given a palm cross, yes? Let me invite you to pick that up if you've got it next to you now. And if you haven't got one yet, oh, well, there you go. You can. Do you want it? Is this yours, Kathy? There you go. These crosses, as you probably know, are created from dried palm leaves and symbolic of Palm Sunday, but also leading us into Good Friday. And I want to just encourage you to take them home and to put them somewhere that you'll keep on seeing them. And I want to leave you with two prayers to pray when you see this cross. Very simple. I think you can remember them. The first prayer is, pray Hosanna. Lord, save me. Lord, save us. When you think of some of those matters that I've mentioned and maybe things that you were thinking about, that you would cry out to God, Lord, save me. Lord, save us. Hosanna. And the second thing that I encourage you to do when you see this cross is again to call out Hosanna. This time as a prayer that perhaps is praise as well. Thank you for saving me. Hosanna, thank you for saving us. Said it was easy, didn't I? Easy to do when you see it, but put it somewhere that you'll remember it. And think of that through the coming days, and hopefully far beyond this Easter season, this Holy Week. Finally, let's return to Abba. Swedish Abba and Abba Father. So when you're near me, Jesus, can't you hear me? S.O.S. The love you gave me, nothing else can save me. S.O.S. The Lord is near. And some of you may especially need to hear that at this time. The Lord is near. The Lord hears. And ultimately, Easter, as signified by the cross, is God's answer to our SOS. God, in his love, has come and has died on the cross to reconcile us and all things to himself. And so we can say, Hosanna in the highest. Say it with me. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.